Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. I appreciate you so much. Father, please pour out your Spirit upon our brethren today and enable them to understand, be corrected if necessary, and be ready for the prize of the high calling of God. Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay, I want to share something that I think is very important. We call this warning against spiritual adultery and witchcraft. And it's especially for the bride, for those who are seeking the prize of the high calling of God. And these two dreams were given to Eve concerning this. This first one was given on 8/13/17. And I'm going to share it with you. The other one come right afterwards. And it's these dreams and words, like I say, I believe they're especially important for those seeking the bride. She said, "Father decided to give me a warning dream this morning. It included a warning of a temptation of adultery. I asked Father if this was a personal dream for myself and got a yes. And then I asked if there was a corporate meaning as well and got another yes." So this just means that this warning against spiritual adultery is for the whole body as well as Eve, since she is representing the bride here. Spiritual adultery is basically love of the beast body of people and their leaders and their ways, more than the love of the Lord and his body. And it's another parable about the harlot, right? She said, "I asked Father if I should send this to y'all and got another yes." So, okay, so we received it, and it's a very good word. She said, "I dreamed that I was at a doctor's house that was connected to a surgery center. The doctor's name was Dr. Bellow. In the natural, I'm not even remotely attracted to this doctor. I'm guessing Father is using him because of his name and his specialty. In real life, I work with this doctor, and he is a podiatrist or a foot doctor. And the name Bellow means beautiful or lovely. This is my question, what is beautiful or lovely to a podiatrist who repairs people to walk in the world? If you don't walk with the world, you're considered crippled, perverted, and ugly. And they persecute you until you become beautiful to them. John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Yes, they don't like us like we are as Christians devoted to Christ. They want us to be like them, right? Everybody that's got a family and came into the kingdom knows that. This, of course, makes us a spiritual adulterer, you know, loving the people, the world, and so on and so forth, and its ways. Loving, obeying, and obeying them instead of our Lord. That's a spiritual adulterer. A true minister has a job to convert us to Christlikeness. False ministers who love the world cause their subjects to love the world. Bellow is pronounced like below. Jesus told the Pharisaical leaders in John 8:23, And he said unto them, you are from beneath. It's translated in other versions as below. You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Well, no, we see that the world hates us because we're not of the world. We're from the Lord. Everybody that came from the Lord to speak to the people of God through the Bible was hated by the worldly people of God. Everybody. And it's still today. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, if we follow spiritual adulterers, we will be one. If we follow those who are sanctified and committed to Christ, we'll be one of those, right? In the dream, he was very taken with me and kept following me around in a persistent wooing attempt to gain my affections. He mentioned to me in conversation that his mother said that he ought to find a girlfriend. This happened back to back twice in the dream. I began to feel really pressured and finally said to him, quote, I'm married, unquote. The bride, by the way, is considered married from the time of the agreement. So, it's true. You know, we are married to the Lord even before the marriage feast and the fulfillment of the marriage in heaven, right? She said he was very apologetic and somewhat embarrassed as he held his hands up in a surrendering pose and then turned and left me alone. He had not realized that I was married because I can't wear my wedding ring at work. I had assumed that he knew. Then my husband called to tell me he was there to pick me up to go and look at a house with him. And I believe that is our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I got in the car, I started to feel pressured and anxious about leaving work at that moment. Uh-oh, the distraction to go back, right? This is all a demonstration here and an example, right? Our husband is the Lord, for it is only he who can sow the seed of righteousness that brings us fruit in his image. His house is the house of the Lord, his people who come into his image. I told him, I don't think I can go right now because my co-workers will be angry that I left them short-handed, and there is still patients waiting to go into surgery. So the lure of the worldly is strong, and many Christians have become adulterers as their allegiance to the worldly leaders and their house, which is not the house of the Lord, it's the house of the harlot. They become as a harlot to receive the seed of the world instead of their husband in his house, and their devotion is to the world and its things rather than to our husband and his house, right? Haggai 1:9 says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lieth waste, while ye run every man to his own house. Many Christians are caught up in the ways of the world, the things of the world, and distracted from the Great Commission, you know, which is so pleasing to the Lord. And Eve received this verse, Proverbs 16, 1 through 6. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. This is why you must ask the Lord, you know, about everything. We're coming from below. we were like the rest, as the scripture says, but we want conversion, right? We want to be like the Lord, so we have to ask Him because His ways are so much higher than our ways, right? So all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord. This is very important, especially in these days when we're coming to the choosing of the bride and the beginning of the marriage feast. So commit your works unto the Lord, and your purposes shall be established. Yep, if we're in the Lord, our purposes will be established. The Lord gets everything He wants to get, right? And if our will is His will, it's the same for us. And the Lord hath made everything for its own end, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Amen. Well, he was disappointed but graceful as he said, well, okay, I'll go on and look at it without you then. And I mean, he's going to look at the house, right? And that was a house that belonged to the husband and his bride, right? Our consuming attention must be to the heavenly kingdom rather than the world and its leaders, and even its religious leaders. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. First his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, the Lord will give you things you need, but you've got to put him first. He wants to be first. All that are in his house will put him first. In 1 John 2:15, says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, if we're in love with the things of the world, or even the preachers of the world, or the people who proclaim Christ but are of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. If we're moved by them, that's why he said, if you don't hate your family. He's not talking about hate them as in angry with them. He's talking about hate their soulish ways. You know. So, she said, I felt bad. I really wanted to go with him, but I was fearful of being fired from my job. Yes, we will be ostracized by the world if we follow the Lord only. Absolutely. So I went back into the surgery center, Dr. Bellows' house. You know, the Lord's house is like a surgery center, but he doesn't use the methods of man, right? I mean, the Lord's house is a place for us to come into his image, right? And walk the way he walks. Dr. Bellows' job was to cause us to be able to walk in the world, right? So I went back into the surgery center, Dr. Bellows' house, to help the other nurses finish up the day's work. And she received Song of Solomon 5:2. I was asleep, but my heart waked. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. saying, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my garment, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my heart was moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid myrrh upon the handles of the bolt. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone." Well, what is the warning here? I think it's don't wait too late, right? Don't wait too late. My soul had failed me when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that go about the city found me. They smote me. The watchmen, of course, is, you know, the preachers in their own way that are fleshly and, you know, the thing that Dr. Bellow represents here. The watchmen that go about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls, that is the walls of religion, you know, took away my mantle from me. That's the anointing, right? If you wait too long to be in the bride, the harlots, false prophets, will seek your destruction in the tribulation to come. We know it because historically it's so. Verse 8, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell ye him that I am sick from love. Well, so the Shulamite, the perfect, the undefiled, was running after the Lord. Not that she didn't make a few mistakes, but she got up and ran again, right? And she found him. So be careful of the watchman, right? When Dr. Bellow saw me come back in, it encouraged him to think that I had changed my mind about being faithful to only my husband, and he began pursuing me again. And this time the temptation was much stronger, and I began to become confused. You know, years ago, when I first came out of Babylonish religion and realized that the religions were just like the religions in Jesus' day. They're departed from the Lord, and then I really needed to seek him. And when I first came out, I got a revelation to not go back until the Lord gave me the okay. And I didn't go back and join. I went back to minister, and when the Lord okayed it. And in that way, I stayed separate from these apostate religions, but loved them and tried to share things with them, just like the Shulamite did, by the way, and so on. And if you go back too early, if you listen, if you give in to these people too early, you'll not be prepared. You'll fall away. The temptation was stronger the second time in going back. She said, my loyalties were becoming increasingly divided between this doctor and my husband. Absolutely. And some of you out there, your attention is divided between someone who represents those who actually teach people to walk in the world and not in the kingdom, and the husband. Confusion comes in when we have split loyalties instead of an eye that is single, which is towards the Word of God, right? Luke 11:34, the lamp of thy body is thine eye. When thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when it is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. He even brought his young adult children and introduced them to me, and they also began trying to persuade me to marry their dad. Well, those who are grown up in the ways of the worldly church leaders always are more persuasive than the children, right? The children will easily see through what they do. And this is when I woke up, she said, and I asked the father for a word concerning Dr. Bellow and received Nehemiah 13:10, and my finger was on, I perceived. She's going to look at the text here from one on down. And this is all about separating from the false leadership and their apostates. Verse 1, on that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people. Well, that sounds like listening to the word of God. And therein was found written that an Ammonite and a Moabite should not enter into the assembly of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. Yep, Balaam said in Numbers 23:8, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? We, too, have had people who have thrown curses at us because the Lord's told us about it. And they did it for the same reason. And, of course, that curse returned upon them, according to the Scriptures. Those who factioned and sent witchcraft curses against their own brethren were rejected from the body, like Ammon and Moab. These people now have a short time to repent in these days, right? And it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. There you have it again. When we hear the true word of God, we're held accountable to repent or judgment falls. Because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. Notice then that that's when the sanctification of the body came. He separated the mixed multitude. That's those who were part Christian and part heathen were separated. As in 1 Corinthians 5:6, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also has been sacrificed, even Christ. Wherefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Verse 4. Now, before this, Eliashib the priest, who was appointed over the chambers of the house of our God, being allied to Tobiah, an enemy, obviously, and there will be no allegiance to foreigners who appoint false leaders, as the religions do. Verse 5, being allied to Tobiah, he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meal offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the grain, the new wine, and the oil, which were given by commandment to the Levites, and to the singers, and to the porters, and the heave offerings for the priests. Well, you know, these foreigners have taken over that which belongs to the house of God. meaning God's people. They've put people under the law to tithe, and they've made themselves pretty rich by doing this, and they're a bunch of thieves, and God's going to do something about that. It's illegal what they've done. Even in the Old Testament, the tithe, a person, a Levite, lived on an average of what everybody else lived on. And so that was the way it was set up. Verse 6, but in all this time I was not at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I went unto the king, and after certain days asked a leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem, and understood the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. See, praise the Lord. He had pull because he came from the king, right? So, a purge of the unanointed unbelievers among the leadership of God's people is what's being typed here. And John 7 and 38 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. Why do they depart from the scriptures? Why do they make up their own Christian religion? Making up their own rules with things that have no proof from scripture. They're full of it. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. So that's the real anointing right there, you see. But these, Tobiah is an unbeliever, and he's unanointed. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God. Oh, praise the Lord. The true leaders brought back and put in their place. You know, when there's a falling away, so do people lose the true leaders. And when there is revival, of course, God brings them back. Not that they're liked by the apostates who love their dead religion and will persecute anybody that messes with their pocketbook, right? And their ego. And with the meal offerings and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, so that the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Now, isn't that just the way it is today? Like the northern 10 tribes, the people have rejected the true house of the Lord to follow their golden calf and temples of man, and the word of the true leaders. Jeroboam factioned them away from the house of David and the temple of God. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. And this will happen at the beginning of the tribulation, I believe. God's going to bring the real reformers. And the real Christians are going to listen. The rest will not. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the grain and the new wine and the oil into the treasuries. You know, the treasury was in the temple of God, which is his people. That's who the treasury is for, to meet the needs of the people, right? Including the true Levites at the top on down, right? And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah, the priest, and Zadok, the scribe, and the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, and the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their business was to distribute unto their brethren. Well, amen. It's true. distribute it unto the brethren as the needs. I've heard so many stories about people who were in the church and came into need, and they couldn't receive anything because of the greedy merchants at the top. The people, by the way, will pool their money, as happened in the book of Acts when the Spirit was poured out among them. And this was the support of the true temple of God, which is His holy people. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the observances thereof. Well, amen. I asked for a word for me and for the corporate representation and received Psalm 79 and 8. My finger was on tender mercies, and in context 1 through 13. O God, the nations are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. Well, this first statement really is the spiritual meaning of the rest of this text. Jerusalem at this time represents apostate rulers of God's people. These people that have come in and taken charge over God's people who are really not the anointed of the Lord. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be food unto the birds of the heavens, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. They get born again and die again. Twice dead, the Bible says, plucked up by the roots. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, and so has Christianity to the world. A scoffing and a derision to them that are round about us. How long, O Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the nations that know thee not, and upon the kingdoms that call not upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob. Yes, that's true. Jacob has become a member of the harlot. They've devoured and laid waste his habitation. Remember not against us the iniquities of our forefathers. Let thy tender mercies speedily meet us. It's a good prayer, you know. For we are brought very low. Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and forgive our sins, for thy name's sake. Amen, Lord. This is our prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Wherefore should the nations say, where is their God? Let the avenging of the blood of thy servants, which is shed, be known among the nations in our sight. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. Yes, you remember Jesus in the Isaiah 61 anointing that he first preached about. When the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, to do what? To set the captives free and to open the prison to them that were bound, right? And so many are bound. And I know that this Isaiah 61 anointing is coming with the man-child reformers. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to death. Yes, Lord, please have mercy on the brethren who are going down the wrong road. And render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Amen. And I asked for a word concerning the house that my husband was going to look at and received with my finger on, they hate him, quote unquote, Amos 5 and 10. And the text is in 1 through 11. Hear ye this word which I take up for a lamentation over you, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is cast down upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord, the city that went forth 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went forth 100 shall have 10 left. That is to the house of Israel. Now, you know, we're also told, you know, Israel, of course, can be seen as all of God's people. It's like the church. And inside the church, of course, is the bride and the man-child, you know. But we're told that a remnant of born-again Jerusalem shall escape and go forth. And Jerusalem is the bride. 2 Kings 19 and 31, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. Why is it a remnant? Because Jerusalem was cleansed. Right? And out of Mount Zion they that shall escape, that is the enemy, the beast, the persecutors. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and you shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity. In other words, he doesn't want them to go into captivity. And Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, seek him that maketh the Pleiades and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night. Kind of reminds you of the solar eclipse we're about to have, the sign that divides the land with darkness. I believe with a Passover for the righteous. And by the way, look out there. We see so much division between the right and the left. It's terrible. Very nasty. And we had revelations and warnings, which we just shared about that just before the Charlottesville mess happened. That calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. That sounds like a Red Sea judgment, a tsunami judgment. I don't think we're very far from that. The Lord is just warning. The Lord is his name that bringeth sudden destruction upon the strong, so that destruction cometh upon the fortress. They hate him, that's where she put her finger, that reproveth in the gate. They abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Well, look at the people who hated Jesus, hated his disciples, ended up killing them. They call themselves religious people, religious leaders, you know. And, of course, those that wanted to please them more than God would have been like wanting to please, I believe, Dr. Bellow, right? Symbolically, you know. This is nothing physical about Dr. Bellow, but symbolically. And as in every cycle in the Bible, the wicked leadership and the people hate the reformers, hated the prophets. For as much, therefore, as you trample upon the poor and take exactions of him of wheat, you have, there, this is the pastors, this is the preachers. You have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink the wine of them. Isn't that something? These wicked plunderers of God's people will receive their reward. And Eve said, after I woke from this dream of Dr. Bellow, my thought was that practicing medicine equates to witchcraft in the Bible, and this doctor was working on people's feet, altering their walk. He appears beautiful as an angel of light. Eve received a dream which fits with this dream, and her last statement here, which was one day before she received the dream I just shared, which was 8:12:17. She said, I dreamed I was standing face to face with wisdom. That's from Proverbs, who represents the true body of Jesus born from above, right? 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God, and Christ in you the hope of glory, right? So how do you get wisdom? You put his word into your heart. She said, wisdom appeared as an older woman, a body, and had a very otherworldly presence about her. That's because she's born from above. We were very involved in conversation when a local UBM member approached us and reported to us that there was one man and one woman from the local body that were practicing witchcraft. Well, first of all, the Lord has shown us that local UBM is a microcosm of larger UBM. So the man and woman are also a corporate body too. So hear the warning. Witchcraft has a twofold meaning. First, witchcraft is translated from the Greek word pharmakia, from which we get the word pharmacy or pharmaceuticals, and of course means healing through drugs. And this is an idol to many because they've been taught from the dead church, the false church, that this is the method of Jesus. But Jesus or his disciples never used this method and thought it to be idolatry. They only used the spoken word of faith so that no man could glory from their works, as Paul said in Ephesians. Right? 2 Chronicles 16:12 says, and in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet. His disease was exceedingly great, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Notice there is a difference. Notice that seeking healing is not the same as receiving it by faith. You receive it by faith because it was given at the cross. It says, by whose stripes ye were healed. You were already healed. If you believe it and are not double-minded, you shall receive. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. That's what it says in the original, even in the received text. And you shall have them. That's what Jesus said. Now, are you a believer? Are you walking by faith? That's what faith is. 13. And Asa slept with his fathers. So this is what he got for not seeking the Lord, but seeking to the physicians. He slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. Mark 5:25. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Having heard the things concerning Jesus, came into the crowd behind, and touched his garment. And that's all she had to do. Didn't cost her a thing. It's grace. It's grace. It's unmerited favor. It's unearned favor. It is grace. And Luke was not a physician. He was an iatros in the Greek New Testament, meaning a healer. In other words, he healed just like Jesus and the rest of the disciples did, by the spoken word of faith, by laying on of hands, etc. Jesus still heals all who come by faith in his word and repentance. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yea, and forever. He hasn't changed. People have changed him. The religions have, but he hasn't changed. We should never pressure or condemn a person who is without faith, because it's a gift from God through grace, right? Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace have ye been saved. You have been saved. And the word saved there, sozo, is used for healing, it's used for deliverance, it's used for soul salvation, right? For by grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. That's not of your works. Even if you try very, very hard to exercise faith, but you're not exercising it, it's just your works, right? Not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Of course, God wants good works out of us, and he wants faith out of us. It comes by grace. It comes through faith, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. He wants you to walk by faith. Notice the works that are pleasing to God come through faith, and that is a gift through grace. Condemnation is law. It's not grace. It will not heal you. However, God tells us in Hebrews 10 and 38, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. An interesting point here is that all of the people of God that have separated from us, that God has separated from us for their sin, as Eve's word above spoke about, through faction and witchcraft, returned to Pharmakia. That's right. Because being possessed, they had no more faith in the Jesus of the Bible. So that's an interesting note. They're full of unbelief. And if you put the Bible in front of their face, they'll just ignore it. And this brings us to a second meaning for witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Amen. If we reject his word and take man's word instead, we become like that idolatry with Dr. Below, right? Witchcraft is the same spirit that turns people over to faction. And you can see it out there in the world, in the government, and in the nation. Totally nuts. And we are seeking the prize of the high calling, and we just had a dream of some not qualifying. God is trying to help us with wisdom, and we're running out of time. Cast out fear. Cast out unbelief. The double-minded will not receive from the Lord, just as James chapter 1 says. Ask God for faith, and he will give it to you. Then Eve said, suddenly, wisdom and I merged together into one body. There you go. And a very large, thick book appeared in front of us on a small table. Well, that could be the Word, the Book of Life. I've always said I believe the Word is the Book of Life, because in the skip sequences underneath, it tells so much about the people of God, all of us, you know. The pages looked old and made of thick parchment, and they were worn and wrinkled as if they'd been fingered through often. Now, doesn't that sound like somebody who's been using their Bible? And how else do you become wisdom? Right? She became wisdom, didn't she? We opened the book and began flipping through the pages. She placed her pointer finger down on the writing without looking, and her voice spake out of my mouth in power as she said, quote, "It will be all right if they will repent and turn away from their witchcraft. The Father will forgive them and deliver them," unquote. "And then I woke up," she said. And I asked Father for a verse for this dream, and I got Proverbs 22:8. "He that soweth iniquity shall reap calamity, and the rod of his wrath shall fail." O saints, seek to walk as he walked. You know, if anyone says that they abide in him, let them walk as he walked. You say, but he was God. Well, God lives in you too. You know, Jesus was Son of Man, inhabited by Son of God. And according to Romans chapter 1, verse 3, and we are too. He had to become in all things like unto his brethren so he could be a faithful high priest, right? So Jesus showed us the way. He wasn't just our sacrifice. He showed us the way. We study him to do his works, to walk in his ways. We study how he did things for the kingdom. We study how he taught the disciples. By the way, when he taught the disciples all these things, and they went out and copied him explicitly in their preaching, in their works, in the signs and wonders, he said to them, "You go make disciples and you teach them to observe everything that I taught you." And of course, this was to be passed on down to us. But what happened was exactly what both Jesus and his disciples said, and that was a great falling away. So the only way we know what is right and what is Christian is to look at the Bible. Don't look at the dead religions. Oh, I know they glorify themselves, but history repeats. Every religion in Jesus' day rejected him. All of the Jewish religions, all of their denominations rejected him. And so he called his church out of them, as he said in John chapter 10. They were called church because they came out from among them. Church means the called out ones. Today, you are called out of the religions of Dr. Bello. You are called out of these dead religions to follow the God of the Bible. You do not know what is truth unless you look there. You study it. You devour it. You eat the lamb in order to have a Passover. You will not have a Passover of the curse unless you eat all of the lamb, as in Exodus chapter 12. Eat all of the lamb. Study it all. Don't leave anything out. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. Put it into your heart. It will be brought to your remembrance by the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, to protect you and to meet the needs of you, your family, and the others around you. The days are coming very quickly. Anarchists are taking over the world. They're at the heads of governments. They like to make war. And they're going to bring a great curse upon the earth. But we have a Passover lamb. However, he wants purity for a Passover, as we just read in 1 Corinthians 5. Cast out the old leaven. Keep the feast of unleavened bread. Cast out the old leaven. Don't sit with people who are apostate. Don't let them speak into your ears their words. You know, when Eve, as a type of the bride, went back in there to Dr. Bello, the temptation was worse. Because God's trying to tell you, This is not the way. They want to assimilate you into their way. It's the only thing that makes them comfortable. They want to assimilate you into their way, which is idolatry, which is adultery, which is that of a harlot receiving the seed that's not her husband. Okay, the harlot. Don't receive things that you don't know comes from Scripture. Eat the lamb, all of the lamb. You couldn't leave any of it until morning. Had to eat all the lamb. And in this way, we'll be protected from the things that come. We will have a Passover of the curse that's upon this world. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord, that you're merciful to us. You give us grace. You teach us how to walk in your ways. You cause us to be overcomers by grace through faith. Lord, fill us with your gift of faith, O Lord. Lord, we need it every day, Lord. We depend upon you. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we thank you so much, Father, for causing us to be overcomers and well-pleasing unto you. Thank you for your gifts, O Lord. Thank you. We praise you. We thank you. We repent, as in quite a bit of text in here has shared. We repent, Lord. We ask that we change our minds, which is what repent means, and believe what you say. Give up on the Dr. Bellows and go back to the Word of God. Back to people who believe the Word of God. And Lord, we wait earnestly for the day when you have placed over your people who have a conscience these reformers. Thank you so much, Father, that you will draw people unto their words and unto their wisdom. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. All right. Good night, saints. Bless you.